Ephesians 5:29. I want to talk to you tonight about a subject. I doubt if you've ever heard this. Now, it's not that I'm smart or anything. I'm just saying I never heard it, so I don't know. I'm going to tell you something. I want you to listen real hard. I'm going to ask you a question before we read the scripture. Can Christians love themselves? Can Christians love themselves? And I'm going to answer it for you. And I doubt if you've ever heard it this way. Maybe you have. I don't know. But a lot of us were taught that we shouldn't love ourselves. We were taught that. And tonight I'm going to show you that's not true. Christians can love themselves. Verse 29 says, "For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord loves the church." Now let me ask you something. Is there anything wrong with the Lord loving the church? Then according to that, the first part of that passage would say, there's nothing wrong with you loving yourself. Now we've been taught, a lot of us came from hard backgrounds. I mean hard. We never heard the word love or I love you. We never had people hug our necks. And it was so hard for me when I first got saved to let people hug my neck, especially a man. We were taught that you ain't no good. You're just dirt. You're no good. Who do you think you are? And if you ever thought you were something or you felt good about yourself, there was always old wet rag somewhere to put out your fire. Amen? And then we got saved. And we went to church. And somebody said, you ain't no good. You're just dirt. You ain't no good. Who do you think you are? And it seemed like every Sunday you was beat down and you was made fun of if you thought anything of yourself. But I've got news for you, and I'm going to show you tonight that a Christian ought to love themselves. You ought to love yourself. Now, the world calls it self-esteem and things like that. But the Bible calls it love, okay? Let's look. Number one, if you look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. He says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love, wherewith He loved us." Now, did you know that God loved us more than we can ever love us? He was rich in mercy, and more than enough, that He could love even us. Now, if God loved us, should not we think we are worth something? Come on, help me. I know it goes against some of your grain, but this is the way it is in the Bible, okay? 1 John 4:19 says, "We love Him because He first loved us." Now, why does He love us? If He sees no value in us, why would He love us? And if He does see value in us, and He loved us, and we turned around and loved Him back, should not we love the one that He loved? Think about it. I'm not talking about self-love. I'm not talking about self-confidence. I'm not talking about pride. I'm talking about love yourself enough to get saved. Love yourself enough. He said nobody, even lost people, didn't hate their body. They nourished it and cherished it every day. Before you ever got saved, you loved yourself enough to feed yourself, amen, and take care of yourself and try to live, right? So after you get saved, shouldn't we realize in the gift of God, which is our life, shouldn't we love our life even more now that we're saved than when we were not saved? Now, you'll go some places, you know, that's preached against. But I've got news for you. If God loved you, it's because there's something that's lovable. Now, number two. We can treat ourselves with love. The Bible says so. Now, I know that in this flesh dwells no good thing. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that we've become perfect. I'm not saying that we're even more lovable or anything. But once we're saved by the grace of God, we can treat ourselves with love. And the Bible never says to hate yourself. In the dark ages, when there were no Bibles, and people joined the Catholic Church because they had to, the Catholics made monasteries for men and women to live in and to punish themselves all their life because they thought they were unworthy to be loved by God. In those monasteries, some terrible things happened. They did. Men would mutilate them own selves because of the thoughts of their mind and their flesh. Women would mutilate themselves because of the thoughts, because they thought they were unlovable and that they were ugly and they were nasty. But I've got news for you. If God loved you enough to save you and keep you, there must be value in you, and you must not be ugly and nasty. And even with natural desires, God still loves you, and you ought to love yourselves. And Jesus said it, and the Bible says it, and we're not to hate ourselves. And now the Bible says, love your neighbor as yourself. And if you can't love yourself, how you gonna love your neighbor?
There you go.
Never thought about that, did you? That old Pharisee told you wasn't worth loving. Even as a Christian, he taught you that you would never be good enough to love, and you're just an old dirty, rotten sinner, and you never will be nothing. But Jesus says, love your neighbor as yourself. So undoubtedly, if I'm going to love my neighbor like that, I ain't never going to win him to Christ. If I tell him he's a dirty, rotten sinner, ain't never going to be no better. He's dirty and low down, can't be trusted.
You're onto something.
Amen?
Yes.
Now, if he told me to love my neighbor as myself, he told me that because he loves me, so he wants me to love them like he loved me, and he saw value in me, and that made me feel better. So therefore, ought to love them and bring them to Christ, and it's the love of God that brings men to repentance, not hate and downtrodden, beaten people. It's loving people. And now if you think you're not loved, then you can't love because you're so busy about being unlovable and you're so worried about being unlovable and you think everybody thinks that about you, then how are you going to love your neighbor as yourself? Now, I'm not saying you're a great somebody. I'm not saying you'll ever be a great something. I'm just saying God loves you and you ought to love yourself. And when you love yourself, you can love other people. But there's a lot of people that's been beaten down in the Pharisee crowd. And don't get me wrong, right's wrong. But if people don't know that they're loved and they're lovable, then how are they going to carry out the work of God, which takes the love of God? If you're always trying to find it yourself. That's what happens to a lot of little girls. They grow up feeling unloved and unlovable. So they throw themselves at the first man's feet that comes along who ain't going to treat them right because they don't even treat themselves right. So therefore, he's going to treat them exactly the way they treat themselves. That's how some little boy gets drawn into a homosexual lifestyle. He's been told all his life he ain't nothing but dirt anyway. And now this man comes along and acts like he loves him like nobody else has ever loved him. And then he falls in love with this man. We know it's not right. It ain't even right kind of love. But it's the only love he's ever been told about. And if his daddy would have loved him like God loved his daddy, or his mama would have loved him like God loved his mama, he wouldn't have been pulled into such a lifestyle as that. If the pastor would have got up one Sunday and said, listen, you're somebody. You're a child of God. God loves you. He loves you so much He gave His Son in your place to die. And you are somebody. And you're not dirt. And you're a child of God when you come to the Savior. Come to Him. He loves you. Then they would love themselves. Then they could love their neighbor. Then the world could get the gospel when people loved themselves. The first thing the devil will tell you when you want to obey the Great Commission, go into all the world and preach the gospel, make disciples. The first thing Satan will tell you is, who do you think you are? You ain't nobody. Who do you think you are telling the gospel? You don't know anything. You're just a pile of dirt. They're not going to like you. But what we got to remember is it's the love of God that's been shed abroad in our heart. That's what we share. Amen. We don't share us. We share Him because it's His love that we've got. It ain't our love. It's His love that He put in us. Well, I've been to churches sometimes. I'll just go ahead and, well, on Facebook, I can't tell you all the stories. We used to have a girl come here. She grew up on our bus, and she went to every church we ever went to, and she grew up. And I'd start telling a story, and she'd lean over, and she'd say, "That's story number 69. Or that's story 129. She knew all my stories. But I went to a preacher's fellowship one time, and it was an old church. And as soon as we got there, we just started the bus ministry at Independent Bible Baptist Church. Was running two buses, started children's church, things people thought would never happen there. Little black kids was coming. That's another thing people thought never would happen. And we'd have a good-sized children's church just started. And this guy gets up and says, "Well, bless God." Watch out when they say that, by the way. That's Christian cussing. And I tell you what, we ain't got but 13 old people left. I guess when they all die off, we'll just nail the door shut and go home. We ain't tying no hot dogs on the back of an old school bus to drag a bunch of, and I'll say black, he didn't say black kids in here. We'll shut the doors before we do that. Everything got real quiet. There must have been about 25 from our church up there. I looked over at Joe. He was driving one of them buses. I was driving the other one. Jamie was helping him. And they looked at me and went, and they looked at the pastor and went, "Pastor didn't say nothing. He just sat there. Didn't make a face." That night, went back to the motel room. Brother Jamie called me and he said, "Brother Ron, did you hear what that preacher said today?" I said, "How could I not hear such a thing?" He said, "What do you think Brother Jason's going to do?" I said, "I don't know. We better pray." He said, "He might shut it down this week. We ain't running but 2 weeks." I said, "Well, we'll pray." We went to breakfast that next morning, and all of us was there eating breakfast together, and Brother Jason come over there, and he was in a good mood. You know, he liked breakfast. He was in a good mood. He liked a lot of breakfast. And he came over there, and he was in a good mood. He said, "Boys, don't worry about it." Tonight I get to preach. And I'm going to preach grace to this bunch of law preachers. And they ain't telling us what to do at our church. He got there that night and he started preaching. He stopped. He said, "It's none of your business what we do at our church. We can buy buses. We can haul in any color people we want to. We can do whatever we want to. It ain't none of your stinking business. And it's none of our stinking business what you do at your church. We agree on the gospel. That's it. That's all we need to talk about. Keeping people out of hell. The rest of it's nobody's business." Jamie looked over there and, amen. But you see, what that man was saying and what there's a group of people saying is, there's some people that's too unlovable to be loved. And we keep, and they keep saying that until these people believe it. Some of you may have grown up that way. Some of you may have grown up in legalistic churches that are like that. And if every week somebody tells you ain't nothing but dirt and you're a total failure, you know what? Eventually you're going to start believing it. But you're not. You've been born again by the grace of God. You've got the Spirit of God living in you. You've received Jesus Christ as your Savior. You've accepted the sacrifice. He has forgiven you. He has sanctified you. He set you apart and you're a child of God. And you got no reason not feeling good about that. You say, "But Pastor, I failed." Join the club. Nobody said you was going to be perfect. Amen? Amen. Did anybody tell you was going to be perfect? I was hoping. After about a week, you knew that wasn't going to work. It didn't take about a week. Then some sinner comes along. They see your weakness. They'll say, "Ah, you ain't even a Christian. Why you even try?" Yeah. Yeah. But I've got news for you. God loved you enough to let His Son die for you. He loved you first, and then you loved Him back. You received His love. You were born again. The Spirit of God moved in you. That means the love of God moved in you. And now there's value to your life, and you ought to cherish it, and you ought to nourish it, and you ought to do something with it. Turn, if you will, to Proverbs 17:17. Most of you already know it. A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. A friend loveth at all times. Jesus, they said He was a friend of what? That He loves you how often? Only when you're good? At all times. 1 John 4:11. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Now, Jesus said we are to love others, a friend that loveth. But how can we love others if we don't love ourselves? No, you can't. I believe a man that beats his wife hates himself. I believe a woman that is unfaithful to her husband hates herself. She doesn't know how to love him back because she thinks she's not worthy, or he doesn't know how to love her back because he doesn't think much of himself. Can I hear amen?
Amen.
And the love of God comes in there, and you see they get a new heart and a new spirit. And the love of God takes over, and they start loving themselves, so therefore they love the other one. How can I love you if I think I'm no good and I'm low down and I'll never be any better and I ain't fit to go to heaven? I never will be fit to go to heaven. But I've got news for you. The love of God makes us fit. That's what qualifies us for heaven. Now, but I'm going to tell you something. You must love others, because if you love yourself, that love cannot stay in there. You're going to share it. And when you share it, you'll do it by loving others who are probably unlovable. Didn't anybody have to come give you the gospel? They did it because they loved you. They didn't think they were better than you when they gave you the gospel. They thought that they were just as bad as you, but the love of God saved them, and He could save you too.
Right. Man, preacher, I just think you can't trust nobody at all.
Oh, shut up. Get saved. Get right with God. Get the love of God in you, and you'll understand what I'm talking about. You can trust people. You can love people. You can share your love with them. You love yourself, then you can love somebody else, because the love of God in you is shed abroad in your heart. And listen, the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Look at Romans 13, verse 8. How am I doing on time there, Billy? Romans 13, verse 8. I'm just peeking at you. Got to laugh. Romans 13:8. You there yet? Say amen when you get there. Owe no man anything but... Now, most people stop. Owe no man anything. That's where they stop. You ain't supposed to borrow money. You ain't supposed to ask people for help. Don't borrow. But that's not what it says. It says, owe no man anything but to love one another. We owe it to Him. We owe it to people to love one another. Now look at the last of that verse. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. There it is. When you love other people, you fulfill the law of Christ. They asked Him, what's the greatest commandment? He said, what does the commandment say? And then He said, but I'll tell you what. do unto others as you have them do unto you, and love them like you'd have them love you, and treat them like you'd have them treat you. And you'll fulfill the law, because you won't steal from somebody you love, and you won't hurt somebody you love, and you won't do wrong to people you love. If you treat them like you, and the Bible says you love yourself because you take care of yourself, you feed yourself. I don't see many of us fading away in here, amen? We must love ourselves pretty good. And so we're to love other people like we love ourselves, because Christ loved us first. Now we owe them that. Go back and read that verse. Owe no man anything except that you love them. Now we owe people that love because God gave us that love. We owe it. It's kind of like your rich uncle died. Believe it or not, I got a rich cousin I didn't know about in California. He died. It'll take him 30 years to settle his estate. That's all I'm going to tell you. Y'all think I was going to tell you how much money I was going to get, didn't you? I know, I smell wood burning. I know what you're thinking. I smell wood burning. But it's kind of like you got a rich uncle that died, and they said, look, you're going to get $50 million. You're going to inherit it. There's only one condition. You got to share it with others. And if you'll share $25 million, you can keep $25 million. And do you know how hard that would be for some people to do? Brother, you put $50 million on the table, say, if you give us half, you can have the other half. I said, help yourself. Hurry up. Get your 25. Amen. But he says, we don't owe any man anything except to love him, because God gave us the greatest gift that's ever been given to man, the most expensive, the most valuable, the most rare, which is the love of God. He loved the unlovable like us. And look, we owe it to others to share that love. I've never had any money. Really, I've never had any money. I've always just gotten by, and I'm a little bit ahead. As you get older, if you live long enough, don't die, you'll get a little bit ahead. Problem is, most people don't live long enough to do it. But I've always wanted to help people, always. Even before I was saved, I wanted to help people, because I grew up so hard, I wanted to help people. I couldn't ever say no when people wanted to borrow money. I just couldn't say no. And my wife fussed at me. But you know what? People come to me now and they'll say, and believe it or not, people come to their pastor. I wouldn't borrow money from the pastor, because, see, he's got in the pulpit and he knows your name if you don't pay it back. Yeah. No, I'm teasing. But they'll come to me and say, Pastor, can I borrow $20? I said, no. I'll give you $20, but I won't loan you $20. Because here's what's going to happen. I'm going to loan you $20. You're going to tell me you're going to pay me back next week. And by the way, when we give you the love offering, the other's fund, that's not a loan, that's yours. You don't have to pay it back. But if you do, and I think you ought to, if you could, thank God. Amen, that you could do that. But see, if I loan you $20 and you say, I'll pay you back next week, and then you don't pay me, you're not coming to church. And then the next week, you don't pay me. You'll say, man, I'm 2 weeks behind. You're not coming to church. And then a month later, you still owe me. And you see me on the street, you're going to say, man, I ain't paid him that $20. You're going to cross the street and go a different direction. And I'm going to lose your friendship. And I'm going to lose your membership. All over a stupid $20. So I'll just give you $20. Danny's fixed to ask for $20. But if I love you, what difference does it make? God gave it to me. If I got it, why shouldn't I give it to you? And by the way, that's where he says God loves a cheerful giver. They didn't take up offerings in the temple. That wasn't what he's talking about. But if I love you like I love myself, then I'm going to share with you. What am I going to share? The greatest thing I have. Faith in Jesus Christ. Now people, they'll come to my church and they say they're saved and they have children living in the house. They're not adults and they're not saved. And they won't make them come to church with them. and they'll testify about how much they love their children. And I think, no, you don't love them as much as you think you do, because if you loved them as much as you think you do, you would go to the extra trouble to break out a hickory or something to make those children get to where they could get what they need. I'm not going to beat my children to make them go to church. Well, I wouldn't say beat them, but there's other ways you can make children go to church. You look at them, you say, you're 10, I'm 64, you're 3'2", I'm 6'4", you're 50 pounds, I'm 200 and something, something, something pounds. You're going to church, boy. I love you. I will pick you up and carry you. I love you so much. I will whip you unless you cry. I love you so much. But you're not going to hell. I'm not letting you go to hell because I love you. And you're worth more than going to hell. And I'll do whatever I've got to do to keep you out of hell because I love you that much. Instead, oh well, stay here then. A little trouble. A little work. Say amen, Rick. You're looking good sitting over here, man. Say amen right there. Amen. That boy's the captain of the ship. I tell you, he can drive that boat. Now, I'm saying this. Number one, we can love ourselves because God loves us. And that makes us valuable. Would you say amen? Amen. I'm saying number two, because you love yourself, you ought to treat yourself with love. Because God treats you with love. Would you say amen to that?
Amen.
That's what he said in Ephesians 5:29. I said, number three, we can't love only ourselves, though. We've got to love others because he loved us. And it ought to be a love that cannot be tied down or bound, but by you loving people. Just natural, just loving people. Not for a reason, just love people. When you go to work, love people at work. I don't care if you work with the meanest devils in town. I used to work construction with Duke Power, and I worked with some heathens, man. I'm telling you. And they'd make fun of me, and they'd mock me and call me names. But guess who they would pull off to the side when somebody was sick or they wanted a prayer put through? And I'd love them. I'd pray for them. And I'd invite them to church, and they'd taunt me by saying, well, if you go with us down to the club and snort a little cocaine, we'll go to church with you. And I said, now, you know I can't do that, but I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll come by and get you, and you can ride with me to church. You can sit with me at church. I'll buy you lunch after church. I didn't say y'all a bunch of heathens go to hell then. I had a guy go visit with me one time knocking on doors, and this guy, big old black man, he come to the door. I think we woke him up. and it was this guy's turn to talk. Was taking turns door to door. And he said, away from the church. And we want to invite you to church. The man looked at the little thing. Yeah. He said, do you know if you died, you go to heaven? He said, well, no. He said, you want to know? He said, well, not really. He said, well, then go to... Oh. Yes, he did. And you know him. I got his arm. I said, sir, God bless you. Come visit with us at church. And I walked off. I said, you ain't talking no more. He didn't love those people. It was a chore for him to do that. He was doing his work trying to earn something with God. All three are necessary. Number one, we're commanded to love God. Would you say amen?
Amen.
Number two, we're commanded to love our neighbors. Would you say amen?
Amen.
Number three, we are given permission to love ourselves. Now, until you get this settled, you're not going to be good for God. You're not. Because God can't use somebody that doesn't love himself. Because why would anybody listen to you teach a class when we were independent? Greater Life, formerly known as Independent Bible Baptist Church. We had an assistant Sunday school teacher in the adult class. And he came in one Sunday. Me and my wife were sitting there. We wasn't teaching at the time. We were just sitting there. And he got up there. He's had that scowl on his face. And he opened the Bible and read some kind of scripture. And then he said, "This is a depressing place. I get depressed. I get so depressed sometimes I feel like putting my pistol in my mouth, pulling the trigger." I looked at my wife. I said, "This is the last time we'll be in this class when he's in here, because what if it's the Sunday he decides to do that?" He didn't love himself. He didn't love himself. Now you're given permission to love yourself. "Well, you don't know how I grew up. Doesn't matter. You're supposed to be born again. You got your name written down in heaven. You're a child of God now. You're valuable to God. God wants to love you. He wants to use you. He wants to encourage you." And people will go to church and say, "Well, bless me if you can. You don't know how bad I am." Yeah, I do. You're just like the rest of us. You need to realize you can love yourself and it'll make you better. We must love ourselves enough to see that God can love us and then share that love with others. If we don't love ourselves the way God loves us, we will never love others the way we ought to. Because see, you won't see any value in it. Old drunk, dirty dope head, whore, queer, all that stuff. You know, just go on and on. You won't see value in those people. What you need to do is look at them and say, "There goes somebody's son. There goes somebody's daughter. There goes somebody that could be saved by the grace of God and their life could be changed if they only knew that God loves them and could deliver them. And I'm the only one here to tell them. And I love them enough, I'm going to do it." "But preacher, I've been hurt." Well, they hurt him too. "But preacher, they let me down." They let him down too. "But preacher, they talk about me." They talked about him too. "But they don't love me back." They didn't love him back either.
Amen. Yeah. Amen.
But he died for them.
Yes, sir.
The last act of a sinful, wicked generation on planet Earth was to beat him, slap him, spit in his face, curse him, hang him on a tree, and dare him to bring himself down. And as he was dying, just like this morning, after he gave his mother to another man, and that man to her is her son, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Now that's what you call love, amen?
Yes,
to have somebody hate you and talk bad about you and run you down and call you names, and then you go home that night and you pray and you say, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." Loving yourself rightly will do some things. It'll change your life rightly. You'll sit up straighter. You'll walk better. You'll talk better. You'll dress better. You'll take better care of your health. You'll be more confident. You'll be more successful. You'll be happier. You'll be more satisfied. You'll love others more. You'll witness more. You'll give God the glory when you love yourself like you ought to. So, if you loved yourself enough to get saved, and you loved yourself enough to get sanctified, others are going to see it, and they're going to ask you, "What happened to you? You're not the same person I used to know. Billy, what happened? Something's different about you. You just seem like you got more confidence, and you dress better, and you talk better, and you walk better. How do you do that?" And then that will give you the opportunity to love them enough to share the love of God that made you better. Do y'all agree with that?
Oh, yes.
I tell you what I like to see. I like to see people come to church who've been beat down. Now, this ain't Joel Osteen talking to you. I'm not preaching Joel Osteen message. I'm preaching the Bible. Amen? But I like to see people come to church who have been beaten down and downtrodden and belittled and hurt, and come a few weeks, maybe a few months, and then you start seeing them smile and At first, they didn't like people shaking their hand. I've had people tell me, I don't like all them people hugging my neck. I said, keep coming. You'll get used to it. They just want to love you. That's all. They just want to love you. Let them love you. It gives them joy to love you, and it'll give you joy if you'll let them do it. And then they start liking it. And then pretty soon, they're the one doing all the hugging. And then pretty soon, they're the ones that shakes your hand off while you're talking to them, you know. And they're the ones that's smiling. And pretty soon, they either give their heart to Jesus or give it back to Him, and they're coming to church more regular, and they're starting to dress good again, and they're starting to smile again, and they join the choir. Amen. Then they sing a special. You see them big old burly men up here. One of them didn't used to know where he was going to live. The other one had a rat tail because he didn't have enough hair to have his... what was the other kind y'all call? The mullet. But they ain't look at me and you. We'll be dead in hell. Was raised that way. And God took us out of all that. How can we not love people the way He loved us? Billy says that they run over you at work. People pick on you. I don't pick on you. I'm playing. I'm playing. I'm playing. I do love you greatly. I missed you so bad at that men's fellowship. And this morning the church could hardly function without you. I'm serious. People was hunting seats. Other men standing around going, what we do? What we do? Get a chair! Where's Daddy? Listen. So you know what you'll do? You ought to love yourself enough to get saved. You ought to love yourself enough to get set apart, sanctified. Yes. Then other people will see it. Other people will wonder. Other people will eventually ask you. You know, witnessing ain't hard if you realize what you got, because they'll see it and they'll want some of it. What happened to you? You didn't used to be like this. You're not the Ron Roddy I grew up with. Well, the Ron Roddy you knew didn't love himself. He hated himself. He would have eventually destroyed himself. But the love of God came in. And that day when... Listen, the love of God is what saved me. Not the fear of God. I was fearing of going to hell. I was afraid of going to hell. But realizing that God loved me so much that He paid my debt where I wouldn't have to go to hell, that love overwhelmed me.
That's right.
I had never been loved. I didn't think I was lovable. I remember one time this one of my friends, and I didn't treat my friends real good, and one of them told my wife, said, Ron Ronnie don't have many friends, and the problem is that he don't want any. And he didn't know. The reason was, I ain't like myself. I didn't see why I should let anybody else like me, because they wouldn't like me long if they knew me. But then I got saved. And boy, you talking about the love of God swept over me like a tsunami. This big giant wave come over me that morning. I mean, it went from the top of my head to the bottom of my toes, out my fingertips. I felt the love of God all in me. And I started crying. And even after I prayed, before I got saved, I was crying because I wanted to be saved and wanted to do it then. I was ashamed of myself and all the sin. And then by the time I got in that prayer room, finally got the prayer out, I was crying because I was so happy that God loved me. He loved me. And I'm going to tell you something. I haven't quit talking about it since. I haven't quit talking about it since. You fellas, we went down to the... Danny makes fun of me for not catching fish, but I'm really not that excited about catching a fish. I'd be more excited about seeing somebody get saved down there.
Yes.
There's not much that excites me anymore outside the love of God.
Right. Exactly.
There's nothing that motivates me like the love of Christ. Right. There's nothing that moves me like loving others. I told y'all those stories this morning about those little boys that Brother Tony had took in, and I wept and I cried. Do you know how good that feels to be able to weep and cry over somebody other than yourself? And to say, God, I wish you'd give them what you gave me. Only the love of God will make a man do that. Isn't it right? So I'm going to do something tonight. I'm not the Pope, okay? I wouldn't be if they asked me. He's going straight to hell. He needs to get saved. He's an antichrist. He really is. He's against everything the Bible teaches. But your pastor's going to give you permission to do something this week. Your temporary pastor, okay? Love yourself. Love yourself like God loves you. Get up in the morning and thank God He's given you another day. And be happy with the life that He's given you. Wash that old dirty body, brother. Make it pretty. Go to work with a smile on your face. Don't drag around mad at the whole world. What you ought to say is, I don't like my job, but God loves me. The people down there don't treat me right, but God loves me. So I can love myself whether they love me or not. I told one of my employers one time, I didn't know how to run a cash register. I'd never been near a cash register. They put me in sales, and I'd have to sell stuff, beepers. And the woman come up there, she said, you do this, you do this, you do this, you put this here, you put that there. Go ahead. She took off. People come in there, they buy stuff, and they give me a check. I'd ring it up and throw the check in there. I didn't know they counted the check separate from the cash. So after about 3 days of that, they called me in the office and said, have you been stealing money? We're coming up short every night, hundreds of dollars. I said, let me tell you something. I'm the best employee you got. I'd never steal from you. I said, because I'm going to do to you like I'd have somebody do to me, and I'm going to do everything as unto the Lord. And I don't know what's wrong with the cash register, but it ain't me, I can tell you that. He said, go out there and show this woman what you've been doing. I showed her. She come back in there. She said, he's ringing up the checks. We don't count the checks with the cash, with the receipt. So he's coming up short. I said, well, somebody took the checks. Did they not count them? But I did. I told him. I said, you're the best. I'm the best employee you got. I'll never lie to you. I'll never cheat you. I'll never steal from you because I am a good employee. And you can say that. You can be loving enough of yourself that you can say, because of what God done for me, He loved me, I love myself enough, I'm not going to do things like that. So this week, you got permission to love yourself, Billy. I don't care what the boss man says. God loves you. Amen? And before you were saved, you loved yourself enough to feed yourself and bathe yourself and take care of your health. Why shouldn't we be so much more so now that we're saved for the glory of God? And if y'all start doing that, you'll get the love of God coming out of you, and you'll get the confidence of the love of God and the peace of the love of God, and other people will start seeing it, and they'll say, what happened to Rachel? Something done happened to Rachel. You thought I was going to call your name, didn't you? I can't pronounce it. Micaiah. I can't spell it. And you need to talk to your mama about that, okay?
I mean.
Poor girl. Nobody can spell your name? But I love you. You'll love yourself. Amen? Amen? Let's love ourselves this week. And by loving ourselves, let's love others like Christ loves us. Let's be the friendliest person in the place. Let's be the most dependable person in the place. Let's be the best dressed. Let's be the best mannered. Let's take care of ourselves. And then God will use us. He don't use trash. He'll use us. Are y'all with me? You agree with me? I don't care if you do or not. It's still truth. Amen. Let's stand.